Okay, everybody looks so fresh on a morning like this. I don't know if it is because you went to bed late or because the sun was shining in the week, or but it's great to have so many smiles. Let's just practice that, because when you come to church, it's actually nice to smile. I was standing at the door and some people were walking in here as they were coming to a funeral. But I don't know, you know, it's actually sometimes like nice to smile. I do know there's a group of people, the mommies and daddies that has got kids under 2 years old. You're allowed to frown. You're allowed to walk in here like a zombie because you probably didn't sleep last night. So you're excused. But for the rest of us, you know, you're free to smile. Let's just practice that. Turn to your neighbor and say, yo, I love your teeth. You know, I love the smile on your face. cool. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you have kids, when they're small, you start to play games with them, and when they're like 3 or 4 years old, the games change over time, you know. You always play, the favorite probably is that we all know, and we've all played it, we've all been there, is hide and seek. Okay, so in the beginning, hide and seek, wegkruipertjie, okay. Hide and seek has got a specific format. If you have a kid under the age of 3, is they will go and run to a place, and then they'll probably stand behind the curtain where the curtain goes to here, and you can see all of their body, but they think that when they're behind the curtain and they can't see you, then you can't see them. You've seen that, you know? So you stand there, then you come into the room, and then you see all the feet and the whole body there, except the face is hidden. So you sort of walk around and you say, I wonder where Joss is. I wonder if he's in the cupboard. Then you open the cupboard, you know. And I don't know why we love hide and seek when we're small. Now, when you grow a little bit older, then the format changes a little bit, because then your kid will hide away, but in the same place all the time. And if you take too long, then and you call out their name and you say, Joss, where are you? Then you would say, I'm not here, or I am here, or come here, I'm not in the room. I'm not in the room behind the cupboard. And then you'll find them at the same place, same time, same moment. But and then it's every time it's a surprise. Ha! Oh, hello, you know. Oh, you're here, you know. And then we as parents, we enjoy it very much when you have like this hide-and-seek competition, and it's, you know, after the 34th time, you begin to psych yourself up every time when you get there, because you think, okay, I'm going to try to be surprised again, but you know, let's go there again, you know. And how many of you have been there, parents? Some of us, okay. So there's something inside of us from a young age, from all of our lives. We have this thing. We want to be found, and we want to be known, and we want to connect. You know, it's like I went camping with Joss for 3 days, and we wore the same clothes for 3 days. And when we got home last night, he this is my youngest son. He said, "I want to go camping again." Because then we said to him, "We must go and bath now." And he said, "No," because we just ate meat, sweets, and we didn't bath or brush our teeth for 3 days. Hallelujah! What a men's camp. Okay, so, but don't worry, I did bath last night and this morning. It took me twice, so it's fresh here from the front. Okay, just to show all the stuff. But it's amazing when you sort of get a little bit out of your comfort zone and you begin to see stuff in a different way. And I'm going to talk about something very simple, but I believe God has been speaking to me about this whole year, and I want to just come back to that and to us. Is this one thing that we have got eyes, we've got spiritual eyes. And God wants us to see, and yet it's a challenge for us when we talk about seeing God. How do you see God? How do you, you know, because God is, you can't touch God, although God is more real than the clothes that we wear and the people next to us. God is more real if you look through the right eyes and with the right eyes. And so we sing this song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." Okay, it's a golden oldie. Some of you sing it in the shower, some of you sing it out loud, some of you murmur it, but that's all right. You know, we say, "Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you." That's how we're going to start today. I want you to close your eyes. We're not going to sing, we're going to just pray it, okay? Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 16, one of my favorite parts of scripture is when Jesus comes to stand in front of Peter and the disciples, and he asked them in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven." It's probably the moment with God interacting with the disciples that turned the whole situation or the scenario around, because Jesus came to his disciples, he asked them, he said, "Peter, okay, what do the people say? What's the rumors out there? What are people saying? Who do they say I am?" And then Peter says, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet, some say you're this, some say you're that." And then I can just imagine this moment, Jesus now turning right to Peter, looking him straight in the eyes, and he says, "Okay, now who do you say that I am?" And you know, regularly God will come and stand before us, and he says, "Okay, who do you say that I am? What's your confession about who I am?" And then Peter says these amazing words. He says, "You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're not a dead God. You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You are the Christ. You're the anointed one, but you're the Son of God, of a living God that's alive." And then God, it's almost like I can see Jesus standing, and he says, oh, just with this like amazement, not amazement, but sort of almost like, "Yes, you've got it, Peter. Yes, you grasped it. You know who I am. You're not open for the opinion, what other people are saying, but you're really open for who I am." But let me tell you, and then for the first time in a long, probably a year, he calls him that name, Simon Bar-Jonah again, the fleshly name of Simon. He doesn't call him Peter. Just in the next verse, he calls him Peter. He says, "Do you know, Simon, with your old nature and inhumanity, you can't see. But you are blessed today because of one thing, because my Father in heaven has given you revelation knowledge." Revelation knowledge. My Father has revealed to you who I am. And because of revelation knowledge, because of the ability to see, something has been revealed to you from a supernatural way, in a supernatural way. Because you can see, that revelation knowledge is going to make the kingdom of God come in your life and through your life. And that's going to open up, give you some keys. And those keys are going to make you bind things and loose things. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell itself, will not prevail against my church, that's us sitting here today, because of this one thing. Because you had a revelation of who I am. Now, unfortunately, many Christians today, and I was just speaking to somebody 2 days ago, when you talk about seeing God and hearing God and knowing God, you know, we immediately go to a default. We also go to like, no, I'm faithful. I go to church regularly because that's the right thing to do. I read my Bible every day. But don't talk to me about revelation knowledge. Don't talk to me about a spiritual realm, because it's almost like I can't control the situation. I look to the natural, and I'm a pragmatist, and when I see stuff in the natural, from that place I make up my mind, I have intellectual knowledge, and that intellectual knowledge makes me to do certain things. But revelation knowledge, God speaks to me, God reveals himself to me. For many people, that's foreign in the church. But I trust this morning that God is going to open the eyes of our hearts, and that we're going to become hungry for revelation knowledge. Because what you see in this world and what you hear from the media is not what you get. I remember going to Iran and coming there and realizing, oh my God, everything we've heard in the news is a lie. Everything in this world. You know, there's a world system out there trying to impose a certain worldview, a certain way to see things. And because of those things, whether it's through a fear motivation or through whatever, we make decisions based on what we see in the news or what we see through our circumstances. And that's why God said from the beginning, you know, if you want to follow me, you must walk by faith and not by sight. Did your neighbor and say, walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Yeah, okay. Turn to your neighbor quickly and look them in the eyes and say, God wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, when I put these glasses on, then I can see who's sitting at the back. Although, you know, before that, you're just a blur there at the back. You're just like all over the show. But when I put on these glasses, I can see. Because suddenly, my eyes begin to open up and I can see, ooh, there's Louis sitting there at the back. And there's other people sitting there at the back. And some people have combed their hair. Others had a bad hair night. And especially the people right there at the back, Yopi. See, suddenly when I put on these glasses, there's an ability for me to see. So suddenly I can walk, I can know. But if I haven't got it on, then suddenly, oops, you know, you're just like a blur. All the people right there at the back, you're a blur. The people in front, you're all right. But the people there at the back, you're a bit misty to me this morning, okay? But so getting into a place of seeing is so important. And walking in this place of revelation knowledge, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, to see. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes and he prays about this thing. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what he prays. He says, I don't stop praying for you. You day and night, you're on my heart, but this is what I pray for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Say, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then verse 18, he sort of prays it, he sort of summarizes it. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Oh, big words, eh? I love how Paul writes. He says, the exceeding greatness. Okay, he says, what are the riches of his glory? So Paul writes here not from an intellectual place, but he writes from a place where he saw certain things. And now he says, look here, when I think of you as the church, when I think about what you're doing and what you're going through and all the wonderful stuff that's happening, I pray for one thing. I pray that God will, that the Holy Spirit will open up the eyes of your understanding. And especially for people that are married here this morning or people that want to get married, if, you know, Scripture even says it, husband, understand your wives, lest your prayers be hindered. Say prompt. Okay? But how many of us know, husbands, that is a very tall order? Because we are different. You know, we're just completely different as men and women. So to be able to understand somebody else, you must know what is in their hearts, and you must be able to stop and not give them gifts that you really want to receive yourself. That's a tip for you, Walter. Okay. Because sometimes we come there and we think like, wow, this will be a great gift. And then you've never asked because the color should have been blue and not gray blue. Then you sort of, we can almost sometimes miss the whole thing. And do you know how many times we come to God and then we sort of like, ta-da! And then we sort of realize, oops, I'm the right person at the right place at the wrong timing. Yeah? And that's why we're praying and we're saying, God, like Paul prays, he says, I pray that God will grant to you that you'll be able to see the riches of his glory, that the eyes of your understanding, that you'll begin to understand what God feels and how God sees things and how He relates to us. And then especially that from that place, He begins to also show you the people around you, and you can walk into a life and you can speak one word, it will change their life. Why? Because you've seen what God sees. Many of us had moments like that when somebody walks up to you and says, I believe God is saying this, and it's sort of a download from heaven, you know? And that person, you can just see like they're shocked out of their system. Why? Because of revelation knowledge. They say, well, that's better than 300 sermons. That's better than 40. Because that one moment was like it seems like heaven's opened up, and for the first time I could see. Though I was blind, now I can see. So, a couple of things that Scripture talks about when we want to see God, when we want to walk in this place of revelation knowledge, in Matthew 5 verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So very simply, if we want to walk in this place of revelation knowledge, we need to live a repentant lifestyle. We need to have a pure heart. We need to walk in that place of fullness so that we can say to God, God, I don't want my heart to get contaminated or get especially hardened, because this world, through a lot of things that it throws at us, and even in the church, the devil has got one thing at mind. He wants you to lose your childlikeness. He wants you to lose your innocence and your purity, so that when you come in here this morning and I come in here and we worship, that when we lift up our hands, we're sort of almost like all over the place. Our mind is running off with us, and we can't focus. We can't come like little children. We can't come to that place where we just say, wow, you're the best, God. And we can't focus in the moment when we need to see God, because we actually see a lot of other things. And that's why the devil's greatest tool against the church is deception, to deceive, to see something else than the truth. Because He distracts us into something else. And so that when we stand before Him, we don't know the truth, and we're sort of like, does God really love me? Does He, you know, what's happening? And then we sort of focused on ourselves. And that's called religion, or dead religion. We then go into rules and regulations. Why? Because we're trying to sort things out ourselves. But God wants us to come to that place of purity, and where our hearts are soft before God, so that we can respond. So that we can worship Him. So that even when our circumstances are like against us and nothing makes sense, then we can still say, God, You're the best. You're the most amazing. You're like, wow, I worship You. I choose to worship You. Because suddenly you see how big God is, and you don't just see how big your circumstances or your problems or your depression is. Can somebody say amen? So that ability to see how big God is, and that God will work all things together for your good, to those who love Him and those who call according to His purpose, that's really the truth. That God will use everything, whether it's from the devil, whether it's from the world, it doesn't matter. You use everything because there's a slipstream you can get into. There's an ability to follow Him because of what He's come to do in our lives. The second thing, it's very, very important, is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the sevenfolded Spirit. And when Scripture talks about Jesus and the Spirit resting on Him, He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You know, there's a worldly wisdom and there's a godly wisdom. There's a worldly knowledge and there's godly knowledge. There's a place where we can enter in, and we've got access to the spiritual realm. We've got access and the ability to see things. And from that place, God wants us to operate. He does not want us to be a victim to our circumstances and a victim to our fears all the time. He actually wants us as the body of Christ to be 10 steps ahead of the devil and of the world, so that we can walk into a place and say, that is what God is saying. That is what God is doing. Yes, go for that. But especially, you know, today with many young people and people that I talk to, everybody, the one big thing they're always asking is, oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss the will of God. Oh, I'm so afraid. You know, then we run to prophets and we run to this and we run to that. But you know that the name for prophets in the Old Testament was called seer. S-E-E-R. the seer, the people that could see what God was doing, and they just spoke it. They went to the seer, the prophet. People that could understand and unlock the spiritual realm. And that's why God has sent us the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in the fear of God and we can walk in the fullness of God. We can say, oh God, I am not subject to this world system. I'm not subject to the thoughts. I'm not subject to what I see, but I can actually begin to when I look at that kid, and I want to talk to some mommies here, okay? Because just, I think 2 weeks ago, I prayed for this mom, and she was like at the end of herself, and she was like, she said, I just want to kill my kids. And she was really honest about it, you know. She said, you know, when they scream and when they're so rebellious and all that stuff. And so what we then sometimes do is we start to operate in the flesh completely, because we don't come to God to say, okay, God, show me again who these kids are. Show me again who you've made them to be, because I've got the ability to release that over their lives. I've got the ability to train them up in the way that they should go. And the moment when you can see that, then nothing else can take you away. When you can see what God is doing. Many of us sitting here today, we haven't got a clue what the calling of on our lives are as a group of people, but also as individuals. And because we can't see, then simply we get so distracted all the time. Hello, hello, somebody out there. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. It says, talks about the world and especially people that has fallen into religion and reading the Old Testament and just stuck in the Old Testament by the law. They say, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Say, the veil is taken away. In Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren, for your enthusiasm. I can hear you from a distance. Okay, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So God wants us through the Holy Spirit. He says, look here, there are some people out there, and you must also know this about the world. Scripture says that they have been veiled. People cannot see, they're blind. That's why Jesus says, I've come to open the eyes of the blind. And it wasn't just natural blindness, it was more spiritual blindness. It was the inability to see what God is doing and to see who God is. And here he says that even when you get stuck in reading the law week after week, do you know what? You become so religious and you actually become veiled. Do you know that's why most religions have got a ritual that they do over babies? All the other religions in the world. When that baby is young, they come to take that baby and they put something right here on the baby. Because they understand that they talk about the third eye. That's why through Freemasonry and all the stuff, they talk about the all-seeing eye. They veil masses of people to be able to not see God through ritual. Through just stuff, doing the same stuff over and over again. So many times generations are trapped and they cannot see God spiritually because of ritual. That's what he's writing about. He says people are veiled. And that's why when we come to Christ, he says the veil is taken away. Then you can suddenly see, it's like that bride that stands in front and she had this thick veil. And suddenly when she lifts the veil, you can see like, oh, this is the real one. It's not another lady standing there. This is like the one that, you know, was engaged with this guy. The one that we know, you know. Suddenly it's like you have this, oh, moment. This like, whoa, this is it, you know, the moment, yeah. So that just, whoa, you go for that mystery that is revealed. Suddenly, you know, and so even in God and with God's relationship with us, do you know God is not going to make his revelation cheap. You need a hunger and you need a thirst. You need to begin to say to God, God, I want to see. I want to know. That's why Scripture says, seek, ask, knock, and you will find. But your hunger and your thirst for him will determine whether you're going to see him or not. Because if we're going to fill ourselves with lots of other stuff, we're not going to see God. Why? Because we become veiled. And that's what he's writing about here. So, turn to somebody next to you and say, you're looking very fresh this morning. Okay, cool. We must rush, because if we want to be finished at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we... Now, the challenge for us in walking in revelation knowledge is especially, and now I'm going to start talking to charismatic Christians. I'm going to leave a couple of people probably behind a little bit here. But I'm going to be very honest with us today, because as charismatic Christians, we think that we are really locking into the revelation of God. But I tell you, we are a bit deceived, especially the church in the West. Because if we look at God's standard of how we should do things, then it's not just the pastor that should get a word of knowledge, or the priest, or the whatever. I was called a father one day, you know. And then I was called pater one day by a guy at the wedding. And I was thinking like, pater, whatever, you know. That's father, I think. Well, in any case, so, you know, and I was thinking, I get lots of names, especially when I go to weddings, yeah. Your highness, I was your highness. But I thought, that's girl. Don't they call the queen your highness, you know? Shouldn't it be like your holiness, or what is the guy? I don't know, but okay. So it's amazing when people out there, when you come to the wedding and you sort of, you know, you just hang around and you sort of mingle with the people until the ceremony starts, and they suddenly see you standing in front, and they think, oh, then people go like, whoo, you know, the religious guy. And then I love going to the toilet, and sometimes standing there at the toilet where the crib is. What is that in English? The crib. Okay. Standing there, then suddenly people come into the toilet, and then suddenly they're relaxing in the moment until they see the pater, your highness, your whatever, and then suddenly look, yeah? There's no streams of living waters running around, and they get stage fright, and then they're out there again, you know? Because they sort of think like, you can see straight through them, or I don't know, you know. And then people walk these miles around you, yeah. They sort of pretend you're not in the room, but it's amazing how people respond or react, you know, to when people start to talk about God, you know, who God is. But for many of us, you know, we've lost the confidence, we've lost that ability to be the voice of God. Because of revelation knowledge, a lack of revelation knowledge. So we say, yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I got baptized. I speak in tongues. I dance every Sunday morning. I do, every Sunday evening I go, you know. And I'm sort of over the place. Once I ran around the church building. It was a great stretch for me, but I ran. I ran, you know. It's got nothing to do with the country in the Middle East. I just ran, you know. And as I came there, I felt so free, and that was my contribution, you know. And that changed my life. But, you know, and then we become the when we Christians. When we did that 30 years ago. When we, you know. And you know, God wants us to walk in revelation knowledge every day. You cannot rely on yesterday, and you cannot rely on 10 years ago. He wants you to walk in it right now. It's your inheritance. And that's what the lady said when Jesus was sitting. He says, you know, Jesus said, now I've only come for the lost sheep of Israel. And then she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Because she was talking about a desire for the supernatural. She said, Lord, even if I can just get a little bit, I don't care what you think about Israel. But what I want, Lord, is I want my inheritance. I want to walk in your fullness. A hunger, a thirst for the ability for God to use us. Now listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, how is it then, brethren? Now when Paul starts to ask a question, you must almost go like, hoekom is dit dan nou so? How is it then? Let's talk about spiritual things. Now, he's writing to a charismatic church here. He's not writing to people that are not flowing in the gifts and they're not prophesying. He's bringing order, but he's writing to this. He says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? We're all here together this morning. Each of you. This is God's standard. Each of you. You, Chris. You, Christian. You, Stefan. And you, Ace. Each one of you. Each one sitting here, when we come together, not just one or two, that when we in worship, we suddenly begin to say, oh, I had a word and I'm so afraid to go to the front. No, no, everybody sitting here that have come together this morning, this is what Scripture asks of us. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation of that tongue. Let all things be done for edification. So when we come together today, we are not yet to receive, but God is yet to give and release something to each one of you, Vince. So what we do is we come to church because what we come is we think like, oh, let's go and think about what the pastor can dish up for me this morning. Can he psych me up? How many hula holy rolls is he going to do up there? Huh? But then we're deceived. Because when we come together, each one of us, you, everybody that knows God has got something to bring. And that's the sign of the body of Christ. Coming to the place of fullness, coming to the place of saying, okay, maybe I just have a little word, maybe I have a little serving. And that's why I don't like the word volunteerism in the church. Because you don't find it in the Bible. I like the word ministers, because everybody sitting here must be a minister of the gospel. Everybody. My main job in Ephesians 4 verse 11 as a pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But when we come to church every Sunday over, do you know what begins to happen? We become spiritually fat. And we grow. But the balloon will pop if you don't give and become a minister. So God wants to release psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to this, because corporately there's a dynamic that Scripture, Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says that even when we sing in tongues and even when it comes, when an unbeliever walks in, there'll be such a conviction. Why? Because everybody is speaking to that person the same thing. So that even the usher that comes to the door and say, yes, sir, how are you doing? God is going to deliver you from depression today. When they walk in through here, and then everything works together, because it's a sign to that unbeliever that God is here. So then we don't try to psych ourselves up because we sing nice songs and because the church's songs is better than the other church around the corner. No, everybody here has got a psalm, has got a hymn, has got a spiritual song. Everybody is ready. Why? Because we're full of God. We don't come because this is a place to get full, and then we sort of just make it to the next Sunday again. Oh, Lord. That's how I thought it's going to be in heaven. I thought there's a line, and behind that line, Elijah, Moses, Abraham, everybody's standing there. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get onto the crown, and then I'm going to sort of just try to make it to the line. I'm going to drag myself over the line because this life is so hard. It's so tough. But praise God, Elijah's beard is very long. So before I get onto that line, I'm going to grab Elijah's beard and I'm going to drag myself over the line. And then I'm going to say, it is finished. I have made it finally. I'm in heaven. Oh, and then for the first million years, I'm going to lie there feeling very satisfied. I have made it. Oh, sure, this carpet is a bit dirty. I'm standing up because I'm going to get hay fever now. Sure. But so that's sort of like, if I can just make it to heaven, that's not a bride that is perfect. that is spotless, that has made herself ready. That has made herself ready. So God wants us corporately to come into that place where there's such a unity. I remember being in George 2 years ago at the church there, and the church just started out, and we were doing an SOS there, and we just thought like, oh yeah, we're going to have a nice worship moment. And the next moment, as we were singing, there were two guys, Diabia, and I can't remember where the other guy was, but they were leading the worship. The next moment, I heard this lady's voice coming. And I'm thinking like, this is weird. So I opened up my eyes because I wanted to check. Maybe somebody went to the front and took the microphone and started to sing with this lady's voice. And I realized, no, there's just the two guys standing there. And then suddenly, we were like in a small little room. There's about 100 people there. And only like it could only fit 120 people. Suddenly it felt like there were 10,000 people singing. And everybody just had this moment where we realized the angels started to sing. And everybody kept quiet and the angels kept on singing. These beautiful high-pitched voices. I couldn't get that note, so that's why I kept quiet. I was just standing there. In the end, we went out and we danced in the street and we ran up in the streets. Why? Because suddenly, heaven opened up. But everybody was ready. Everybody was prepared. Everybody had an expectation. But see, when you walk into your workplace tomorrow morning, do you have an expectation that God is going to reveal stuff to you? I remember working as a financial manager, walking into one of the boss is the financial director's office. And as I'm walking in there, suddenly my ring begins to burn on my finger. So now we're talking about financial statements and all this stuff, and this ring is beginning to burn like hot. You know, it's like, and I'm thinking like, what on earth is going on? So now we're talking about the accounts and we're talking about all the stuff that needs to, and this ring just burns. So I'm going like, yeah, I'm like, and I say, excuse me, and I walk out quickly and I say, Lord, what on earth is happening here? This is like, yeah, this is weird. And I go in and I say, Lord, are you saying something to me? And the next moment, the Holy Spirit says to me, he's got marriage problems. Talk to him about it. Something like, no, Lord, this is not a good place, you know. He's my boss. What is he going to think? it's hot. Okay. So I walk in there and he's busy talking. And he was a perfectionist. He was like, you know. And I say, his surname was also LaRue. I said, Mr. LaRue, can I talk to you? He says, yes, we must finish the month end stuff. Da, 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 da. I said, no, I want to talk to you about you. Have you got marriage problems? And the next moment, his eyes just went round. And then a tear started running down his eyes. And he said, my wife walked out on me this morning before I came here. I said, I want to pray with you. And let's trust God for a miracle. Took his hand, he was like shivering like this. I just said, okay, Lord, we pray for a miracle today. We call her to come back. That evening, she came back. You know, at the end, when I walked out of the place that I worked, this man said to me, do you know what? That day changed my life because I knew then that you were called to not work here. To preach the gospel. Keep on doing it, he said. And then he started to repent towards me for all the stuff that the company has been doing wrong. And he laid out a plan. That's my last day before I go. Laid out a plan on how we're going to fix those things and not motivate the people that work there by fear, but do it in a godly way. I said, thank you, Jesus, for revelation knowledge. So he said, when you go to work, whatever you do, last scripture. Are you ready for that? And now we're going to start praying. The service is almost about to start. Okay, I'm just laying the foundation because we're going to pray for each other. We're going to do it practically today because it doesn't help us to talk about this stuff all the time. We're going to trust God that each one of you are going to have a psalm, going to have a hymn. Some of you, leave the psalms and the hymns, just have the word. It's better. If you're like me, you stood last in the line. Okay? But we're going to pray for each other because, you know, sometimes we just come in here, go out there, and we're going to trust God. You're going to trust God. And I'm warning you now. Please lock the doors. Lock the doors because people want to run out. Yeah, I saw that one going out. Okay, see there, they're locking the doors. Nobody can go out now. Okay, under pressure. How's that song? Pressure. Okay, but submitting to one another. Okay, so listen to this. It says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the sign of somebody that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things. 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 All things for always. Now we want to read other things into Scripture, yeah? Sometimes for my breakthroughs. Sometimes for my comfort. Sometimes for the things I understand. Sometimes when God gives me a revelation. Always for all things. Always for all things. There's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit that God wants to release. Despite your circumstances, despite your fears, despite the lies in your life, despite the confusion, that you can always, for all things, know and give thanks because God is good and because the Holy Spirit enables you to do that. Some of us sitting here today, we must thank God for our depression because He's about to deliver you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You see, there's a corporate anointing that God wants to release. Many people run off and say, no, it's your gift, it's your gift. No, it's us. There's a place where God wants us to submit to one another the songs and the hymns and the spiritual songs. Making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks to Him. Where we lose control, because that's the sign of being drunk. You're very bold, and you lose control. You're not in control. Now God says, don't do it like the world does it, because the world has a certain way of doing it. But when we come to God, we lose control, and we become very bold in the things of God. Drunk people tell you what they think. Hello? Somebody been drunk here? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, you know? You're like very confident, you know, when you're drunk. But do you know what? We've lost the confidence in the Holy Spirit. We've lost the confidence to speak God's word because the devil wants us to be intimidated. I want the band to come up quickly because we're going to do that now. And we're going to start to minister to one another. And we're going to trust God that He's going to speak to us about somebody else in this room. Now, if you're here today and you're visiting us, no pressure. But if you've been here a couple of times, you may not even be a member, but you call yourself a spirit-filled, charismatic Christian, then I challenge you. Get into God's page. Get onto His page. Become a minister of the gospel. Become a minister, and it starts with thanksgiving. It starts with coming to the place of having an expectation that God wants to release revelation knowledge into your life. So that when you walk and you see that guy standing there or that lady behind the tool, then suddenly you can speak the word of God and you can release the word of God and it will change their lives in a moment. That's the Bible we read. That's Jesus walking up to people and saying, you, follow me. What would make a man turn around and follow Christ? Because they saw. What would make a lady at the well leave her water pot and run back to the city, that the whole city is changed, and come out? Because he said one thing. She said, I saw a man who told me all things that I ever did. And Jesus spoke five lines with her. But the veil was taken away and she could see. She wanted to argue, she wanted to do all that stuff. But in John chapter 4, right there, revelation, knowledge of who he is. Will you stand with me today? So I want you to warm yourself up a little bit. Because you're going to need some space. So we're gonna practice it here today. I know for some of you, we're throwing you into the deep end. But what better place? So what we're going to do is we're gonna forget about our own inhibitions and our own fears and what other people think about us. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us who Jesus is today. We're going to ask God to lift veils and to begin to release his fullness in our lives and through our lives. And I know some of us thinking here today, we think we've got all these excuses. No, 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 God, I'm not spiritual enough. No, 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 God, don't this morning. Not in church. Not in church, Lord. No, 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 I don't operate under pressure. I'm a very quiet person. I do things at home. But the problem is there's no people around. So who are you going to sing to? And who are you going to submit to in the fear of God? Where are you going to learn except than in the church of Jesus Christ? Now, there's a group of people here that I want to pray for before we start. And that's a group of people that are just far from God at the moment. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you've never discovered that God wants to use you and that God wants to have a relationship with you. But you're a bit veiled. You cannot see God. You're trying very hard, but you're veiled. You were veiled by the world, or you're veiled by religion. We're just veiled by the self, an obsession with self and trying to be the Lord of your own life. Now, you need to repent today because you need to come to God and say, God, open my eyes so that I can see you. Today, I've started. Today, like Louis said, is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow. Not because my grandma prayed to you 30 years ago. Today, I want to see you, Jesus, high and lifted up. In all of your glory. So we're going to sing that chorus, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And if that's you today, one of two groups of people, the ones that are just fine their relationship with God, and the second group is maybe you've come to church, but you are not spirit-filled. You've not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you're struggling to pray in tongues. You already have a desire for that. But you don't have a freedom just to go with the flow. Because sometimes it's a bit controlled. Sometimes you just don't know. You've never been introduced to the fact that, like Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, that there's a freedom. He says, I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing with my understanding, with my known language. But I also sing in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. I'll pray in the Spirit. Being able to have a free flow with God. Where you speak mysteries unto Him and the veil is taken away. So if that's you today, we really want to pray with you so that you can get into relationship with God or get into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to be very bold and to come to the front. But I want you to take somebody with you that has come with you, that maybe it's a member of the church or somebody. I want you to turn to them and say, look here, I don't know this praying in the Spirit business. It's really, I'm a bit confused. That's fine. That's where we're going to start this morning. I want you to say, look to them, look here, come go with me, because I want you to help me. I want you to show me how we're going to do this. Because that person is supposed to know. If they don't, we'll take a Bible and tell you. So quickly, I want those people to come out. Come right to the front. God is speaking to you this morning about a relationship with Jesus or a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to come quickly. And it's great. It's a freedom to know Him. It's a freedom to walk in His fullness. I want you to come quickly. Just come, because it's not a shame. It's simply, it's the first step you're taking. Say, yes, God, I want to know more. I want to follow You more. I want to walk in Your fullness. So quickly, we're just waiting for a moment for those people to come. Thank You, Jesus. We want to see You today, God. Be prayed for. Won't you just stand a little bit to the front so that we can see? We want some facilitators in front, please. Some guys here. We need two guys here. All the small group facilitators, just come quickly to the front. I want to pray with you. So we're going to give you an opportunity to quickly talk to the person next to you and just ask them, okay, what's going on? We want just guys to minister to guys and ladies to ladies. So I want you just to quickly chat to them and ask them what have you come for today. So facilitators, just quickly for a moment, and we're gonna pray together. Amen. I'm gonna ask a third group of people that are here today, and you really feel veiled. You feel very unspiritual. You love God, but you just always feel like, oh, you know, I need to walk in second hand. You know, I'm always in second gear while I'm supposed to be in fourth gear. And you realize that there's actually a veil, a spiritual veil over your life, and you just try so hard to perform, to see God. I want you to come to the front as well, and I want you to come and stand right here in front, on my left-hand side, on your right-hand side. I want you to just quickly out, because we're gonna anoint you. We're going to anoint you in that place. We can say, Lord, we consecrate this person to You. And we pray that You lift the veils today. So we're going to, as people are coming, we're going to just sing that chorus.